It's time once again for Sports Talk. I'm your host, KOSU's Michael Cross, along with sportscaster and journalist Brent Weber. Brent, let's start with the big news yesterday when Oklahoma City star forward Kevin Durant was named MVP of the NBA. Were you surprised by this?
Well, I'm going to pat myself on the back, at me and millions of others, myself. Back at the middle of the season, I felt this was his year to be MVP. If he stayed healthy, he was doing things that no one in the league was doing, clearly leading his team, clearly his time. If you were to take him away from that team, they would be good but not great. For all of the LeBron James amazing things that he has done and will still do in his career and maybe is the most talented premier player, James maybe, Durant is the most valuable player this year. Does not surprise me. You can back it up with all the stats in the world, but the fact is his guys love him.
Right.
I mean, guys love playing with him. And he has to day in and day out, just like LeBron James, just like others before him, Michael Jordan, others, he has to stand in front of the camera, and he does it pretty gracefully every day. So I couldn't be happier that this kid, when I first met him, has not changed for the worse. Because, Michael, we've been around a lot of athletes. I've seen a lot of remarkably talented, top-notch, upper-tier professional athletes as young men and women come in and just completely change within 3-4 years. Kevin Durant has matured, but he is still loves the game, a kid at heart. Here's a perfect example, and you know I'm a fan. I have to admit this. I try to be a journalist, but I am a fan of Kevin Durant, the guy, because to this point in his life, he's done the right things. After the Game 7 victory over the Grizzlies, Game 6 and 7, and we now know, and I think we might talk about the headline in the Oklahoman, KD was emotional. He was hurt. He was blaming himself for his team's loss. Couldn't have been more absurd because, again, you've got other professional athletes trying to stop you from scoring. That's what people forget about the NBA. And his voice cracked a little bit. He didn't tear up, but as close as I think I've ever seen him to tearing up when he said that, you know, he just had to remind himself that he loves the game. And he talked to his mentors and good mentors and friends and not just people patting him on the back, but people telling him to get his chin up. The guy cares that much. And a lot of people believe elite athletes can't care that much. I disagree, and I think if you were to brain type them, you'd find out more of them are like Kevin that really do make it to the elite status.
Now, I do want to talk about the Mr. Unreliable quote, and that is in quotation marks. I am making air quotes with my fingers because that was from the Oklahoma, and that's not from me at all. But we know that might have actually pumped up him, Kevin Durant, a little bit, but was it wrong for the Oklahoma to put that moniker up there?
I can't imagine that whoever wrote that headline, and I don't know. I know Mike Sherman came out, apologized on behalf of the newspaper to Kevin Durant directly. That does not happen very often, and I don't ask newspapers to apologize for their opinions and editorializing. That was an absurd headline. It was there for one reason. It sold newspapers. But I think they found out very quickly that it had an adverse effect. And I think they lost some respect. And unfortunately, that means you've got a whole staff of sports writers who day in and day out are looking for stories, and some of them have more tenuous relationships with the athletes than others. It's the nature of the beast. We're not there to be their friends, but they respect a lot of these guys. It was just wrong.
Yeah.
He couldn't be more reliable. And if you've covered major professional sports, you understand there will be games like this. Everyone, except maybe Will Chamberlain. Everyone, because he was just a physical anomaly. But everyone has games like this.
Right.
Rod Carew struck out 4 times in a game, you know, and he was one of the great hitters of my era watching play. So they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they did apologize that very rare thing because they were that wrong.
Yeah. Well, now let me ask you so they beat the Grizzlies, came back. It was an amazing game in six and seven, but then Monday night played against the Los Angeles Clippers, lost 122 to 105. Now, Point guard Chris Paul had an exceptional game, scoring 32 points and 8 three-pointers. Can Paul keep up that run throughout the entire series?
Even Paul laughed about it when he said, you know, basically, that's how I roll. No, he said, that's never going to happen again. Look, it was the perfect storm almost in a sense, in that the Thunder had a little bit of an emotional letdown. I think they were emotionally tired. The Clippers are still riding, ironically, the camaraderie that has come about in the wake thus far of the Donald Sterling incident. These guys are pros. So in a way, and I thought it might be an advantage that the Thunder didn't have to travel, but in a way for the Clippers to get out of L.A., to kind of bond, to help them remain focused. And I think the Thunder just, not literally, but figuratively, I think they were a little hungover. Listen, this is pro sports. The Thunder made mistakes. A lot of the talk after the first game was about all the great things the Clippers did offensively, and they did. But to me, the great shooting, Chris Paul's amazing game, and what a wonderful guy he is and a good player. All of that was not the indicator. The indicator were the indicators were the turnovers.
Yeah.
Thunder had 10 turnovers in the first half. Now, I don't want to baffle people with statistics, but you cannot sustain a comeback at this level of sports by giving the ball away.
Right.
And they did that. And they did that in the Grizzlies' final game, too, but made up for it by hitting all their shots, by playing.
Right. And you can't come back with that.
Very difficult to sustain an 8-0 run, a 12-2 run, that you need to get a couple of those together. And the Clippers were there. Now, we'll see what happens on Wednesday. I agree. It is one game. Mm-hmm. Scott Brooks has never been challenged more than he has been in this postseason with matchup issues. He's asking guys to step up, and they did not. Kevin and Russell played well, but the bench did not step up. Cephalosha played well when he was in there, but then they fell behind, and they needed offense, and they don't trust him to score. So they've got some decisions to make personnel-wise, but moving forward, I still like the Thunder.
Now, the rest of the first round teams in the Western Conference, with the exception of Portland and Houston, went all the way to Game 7. Does this show the toughness of this conference?
Well, we've been saying it all year. It's almost like in international football, you've got the Premier League, and then you've got the second division. The Western Conference is the Premier League. I'm sorry, Miami Heat. You belong in the Western Conference, I guess, if that's the case, as the champs. But the fact is, the East is horrible. And they were horrible all year. And Indiana,
beat by Washington,
beaten by the Washington Wizards. And neither of those teams stand a chance in a seven-game series the way they're playing against any of the teams remaining in the West. And I firmly believe that. That's how good these teams are. And the Grizzlies were pretty good the way they were playing in the end. You know, they won 50 games. So Portland is what's interesting to me are all the road victories.
Yeah.
OKC's a hard place to win. Portland's a tough place to win. Look at the teams that remain. San Antonio, well, they'll beat you anywhere, but that's a tough place to win. So,
although Oklahoma City has done it.
Yes, they have. Yeah. And they've done it, and they've obviously built their franchise to beat the Spurs, because the Spurs are still the best. And I like OKC, but guys have to step up and play. Portland, very dangerous. They have something that the Thunder have, and I've said this before, that they have something in LaMarcus Aldridge that is very, very difficult. He is a player that is unlike any other, so that makes him very difficult to defend. You can't do it with one guy. You have to know where he is. He's good even when he's not scoring. He does other great things because he's a Tim Duncan type of player. So you can't let their superstar go off like Chris Paul did. Yeah. But when the superstars go off for the other team, someone's got to go off for you. In the first series against Memphis, it was Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson didn't get a point until the fourth quarter last Monday night.
And the first game, when their bench didn't perform against the Grizzlies, lo and behold, their bench bounced back. So I'm looking to see who answers from the bench for the Thunder on Wednesday night.
There we go. And we will talk more. Hopefully they'll still be playing by the time we talk next week. Brent Weber is a freelance journalist and sportscaster and author of The Sports Guy, Scorecard Scribblings from an Ordinary Journalist. You can find Brent on his website at scorecardscribblings.com.